Welcome, and thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. I forgot to release kids' church. Brother Glenn is standing over here for our children. Amen. Going to kids' church. Amen.
Amen. Wave at somebody. I know that's a little hot for me, but wave at everybody. Wave at them. Just wave at them. Oh, it's good to be here. We're trying this microphone, and I don't know if it's going to work or not. You guys tell me what we need to do. We need to go to a handheld. Up. Can you tolerate this, or is it too loud? Oh, it's good. That's good. Now, we got a special treat today. But before I get into that, we sang a song about dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. You and I were one of those dead things. Before Christ, we were dead in our sin. We were dead people. Our spirit was dead. So we came alive. We became born again and became alive. Dead things come alive. So that is our breakthrough, our major breakthrough. But we have a special treat. We have three of our pastors. One of them is me, but we're going to be sharing some things, answering one of the questions, two of the questions, really. It says, can you share a time when you experienced God's presence in a profound way, or the most powerful revelation that you received from God? So each one of the pastors are going to share that. But I want to share with you first that Revelation 19:10 says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So what does that mean? It means that every time you testify of Jesus doing something in your life, he said, it is the spirit of prophecy. Now, might not make sense until you realize what he's saying is the spirit of prophecy means to foretell, which means he's setting the atmosphere affair to do it again. So when you hear a testimony, he is setting the atmosphere to do it again in your life. Amen? So when you hear these testimonies, you understand that doors are open for you and I to be able to enter in what these guys are going to be telling you about. You can have that too. You can enter into that as well. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth, and he is the guide, he is our guide into all truth, not some truth, all truth. And that's Jesus' own words, and he said, he shall take of me, Jesus said, Holy Spirit will take of me, and he will disclose it to you. So the Holy Spirit's job, he is the revealer. He is the one that opens up, illuminates, and reveals things. And that word disclose, I love this word. It means to make known and rehearse. I love that. I love that. To make it known to you. And not only he'll just say it one time and he won't mention it again. No, he will make it known to you and he will rehearse it with you. They have a rehearsal when they're going to do the songs. Why is that? To fine-tune what they're about to do. So the Holy Spirit will rehearse with us the things that he wants us to do. So we need to understand that. 1 Corinthians said, your eyes not seen, your ears not heard, and has not entered into your heart all that God has prepared for those who love him. So you and I, we haven't seen, we haven't heard, and hasn't entered into our heart all the things that God has for us. And then he goes on to the next verse and he says, for to us God has revealed, he has removed the veil through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to show us. He's the one that's going to tell us. He's the one that's going to guide us. He's the one that's going to illuminate the Scripture. He's the one that's going to show us the deep things of God, the deep things of God. So how does he do that? He does that through word revelation. So you're going to hear some of that today. Word revelation, the Bible, and the Rhema, the written word and the speaking word of God. That's what he's speaking to you. That's two ways. Acts revelation, his creation and what he's done. All through the Bible, you see everything that God has done. That is him revealing to you by the power of the Holy Spirit of what he wants to do in all of our lives. Number three, dreams and visions. You'll hear some of that today. And an inward witness. So he said, I'll pour out my spirit in the last days, and my young men will see visions, and my old men will dream dreams. Amen? And my sons and daughters are going to prophesy. He said, that's how he's going to do that. And then he'll do it with spirit-led people. He'll use spirit-led people to reveal things to us through preaching. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and other people that are spirit-filled can have a word for you, and all of a sudden it becomes life to you because it's from him. Are you ready for that? You ready for number one? All right. Pastor Terry Wilson, come on up and share with us.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. So when Pastor Terry talked to Pastor John and I about what we'd share, immediately I felt a little bit anxious, and I'll tell you why. He says, need a moment, a profound moment where God was just so real, so palpable, that you knew you were in the presence of the Lord. And at the same time, what was the great aha moment out of that? And it hearkened me back to a song we sing here that says, I see the goodness of the Lord all over my life. All over. It is so difficult for me to isolate one moment. But I have a couple I would like to share with you real briefly in the next 5 minutes. And that is, number one, I want to tell you the context of this. You know, when things happen to us and we're little, we can do one of two things. It can make us bigger and better and bolder for God. Or it can draw us back, and we can become recluse, and we can, like, you know, it can really cause a negative effect, right? And Paul says to comfort those with the same comfort you've been comforted with. So there's three areas of comfort that the Holy Spirit has revealed to me that he has given me that I want to share with you. Number one, he is my protector. Number two, he's my provider. And number three, he is my purpose. And the reason that's profound to me is because when I was a kid in kindergarten, one day sitting there just praying to God in kindergarten, all of a sudden I start lifting up, and I thought, oh my word, you know, those TV preachers are right. Yeah, we're going to have it. I'm coming up. I'm going to third heaven right now. But what was actually happening was I was being taken away by some strangers because of some domestic stuff, and I was, for lack of a better term, kidnapped and gone for 2 months by strangers I did not know. Between all the way from the southeast all the way out to Texas, every week I would change houses to people I didn't know. And so some houses were nicer than others, but that left an impact because all of a sudden, God doesn't protect me. I don't have a dad. There's nobody there to protect me. And I'm in these houses where the kids are eating, but I am not even supposed to be there. They don't want me there. They're doing something, and so God doesn't provide for me. And the only reason I exist is to be this token in this domestic thing that's going on. So I have no purpose. I'm just a token. So fast forward. I am now 10, 11-year-old boy. I'm walking down because the sun is up. So when the sun is up, what does that mean? It's time to play basketball. I'm going to my cousins. We're going to play basketball because I grew up in a time period where there's only three channels, and thank God one of them played Tar Heel basketball. Go Heels. And so walking down, and all of a sudden I've got, anybody in here remember the Sony Walkman? Yeah, well, that's back in the cassette and the Sony Walkman, Charlie, and I'm on my Huffy bicycle. I'm riding down this dirt road on Maple Creek Road, getting ready to come to the bottom of the hill, and I'm going to take a right, and I'm going to go down and play with my cousins. And all of a sudden, I hear my mother, "Terry, stop right now." And then, "Terry!" And I just slam on the brakes. And when I do, a dump truck comes barreling through the end of our driveway, turns over, full of rocks. We had a rock quarry down at the end of the where we lived. And my mother wasn't there. She was at work. God's my protector. Fast forward, we're getting married. And life happens and events happen, and we're praying, you know, we made this choice, this collective choice, that we want to homeschool. We want to homeschool. And the time and the situation was just in a place where we couldn't afford to do what we legally was obligated to do and wanted to do morally. We needed to get curriculum and stuff. And so I'm showing up at my place of work, and this gentleman walks in that I knew, but he didn't know our situation or anything like that. And that morning, we prayed and said, "God, this is what we need. And I want you to know, to the penny, that man said, 'I was woken up in the middle of the night with your name, and I don't want to insult you because I know you're a businessman.'" And he thought I was all that and a bag of chips, Charlie. You know, little did he know I didn't have what I needed. And he handed over the exact to the penny amount we needed to buy our kids the curriculum that day. God's my provider. Fast forward or go back a little bit. As a kid in high school, I didn't have a vision for my life. I didn't have a vision for what I was supposed to be. I thought, how many of you have ever heard the saying, and if you said it or it's been said to you, this is not out of judgment, but I want to challenge you on what you're saying. Okay? Can we all be friends in here? But I was raised by good people, meaning well, but always said this: boy, don't outgrow your raising. I want all my kids and grandkids to know, I hope you outgrow everything I've given you, and it's just been a platform, and it's not a ceiling, and you go further than anything I've ever been able to give you. I want to be your floor, not your ceiling. And so my expectations was marginalized and mitigated to, this is who I'm supposed to be, and this is my what I am, and don't expect any more, because to expect any more is to violate this principle that, you know, we need to be humble. And but, you know, humility is not the opposite of having dreams that God has given you. That's a lie from Satan. But anyway, I'm in the McDonald's, Spindle, North Carolina, my first job where I'm working for people that are not my family. And this wiry-looking Barney Fife guy comes in from Falston, North Carolina. Anybody know where Falston is in here? Well, I won't mention his name, but God used him that day. And he looked at me while I was doing my work and all that, and he says, "Can I tell you something?" I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "You are worth more." And I, feeling weird and looking to see if that guy was driving a white panel van, this guy's awkward. I said, "Well, I appreciate that, and I thank you for that, but you need to tell her that." And I was pointing to my manager. And he says, "It's not her job to tell you what kind of value you have. It's for you to understand it." And so that word right there still resonates with me today, that we are made by, from, and for the purposes of greatness. That greatness is on the inside of all of us. And God put it there, and it's God breathed. And out of everything I've ever gained and everything I've ever lost, the one thing I will challenge all of you in here: money can be repaid. God can heal. God can touch you. But there's one thing if you lose. For me, it was it was almost too heavy to bear. And that's purpose. You have to have a purpose. God has given everyone in here a purpose. There is a reason why you are not a cosmic accident. You did not crawl out of a mud puddle because, you know, lightning struck it billions of years ago and you're just this cosmic accident. But you're made by, from, and for his purposes. Before the foundations of the world, he knew you. And what happened was me, I took that rhema word that Larry Reichard gave me and I built a life on it. And then what happened was I was challenged on it, Charlie, a few years back. And there, but by the grace of God, I think I wouldn't have made it. Till a man of God came to this house, invited by our pastor. And he introduced me, and he said this. He said, "The Lord told me that you need to start reengaging with your purpose and speaking again." And I looked at him, and I was like, "Well, that's great. But I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. I'm bankrupt. I've lost everything. And I'm living in a rental home." And so it was almost the man of God was giving me the word of God. But how many know sometimes it's up to us to massage and plow our hearts so we can hear what God is saying. Because God's word is true. How I respond to it is on me. It doesn't change this. And long and short, I'm going through this in my mind, and I'm just like, this guy has woo-hoo, you know, cuckoo. And then he said this, and I knew, oh, this is God speaking to me, and it's making me uncomfortable. He says, even if you have to go into your walk-in closet and talk to your clothes, you start speaking. Now, why that's hysterical is because 2 weeks prior, I'd set up a card table in our walk-in closet because it's the only place I could get away quiet and started recording a little radio show. And my whole life turned around right then and there, and I was able to re-engage with my purpose. So I'll leave you with this great aha, or revelation, at least for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul goes into this thing that he is constantly having to deal with. He says it was a thorn in the flesh. And then he opines and saying, and I've asked God multiple times, and he won't take it away. And I've been in the company of pastors and friends and theologians, or people that, you know, really dig into the word, the Berean spirit, and I really enjoy those conversations. But I think we all sometimes miss the point. Whether it was a thorn in the flesh, it was eyesight, no matter what it was, the effect was the same, and that was this. Satan was using it to torment Paul. Because he said, Satan uses it to torment me, keeps me up at night. And I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed. And so I'm here today to tell you, I don't know what your thorns are. I don't know what's touched your life, because I know everybody in here has been touched by life. And I can't guarantee you that God's going to remove it right now. But I can guarantee you this. It's not meant to torment you. That torment can leave today. That torment can be expelled to the outer ridges of the world. It does not have to touch your life anymore. Now, I believe God still heals today. I still believe God does miraculous things. But I'm standing here today to tell you, no matter what my health looks like, my bank account looks like, or anything else, my favor of God does not change. And these things, and these temporal things, do not have to affect me at all. So I want to encourage you today, if you want to know me a little bit, that's what's impacted my life from an early childhood, and that's why the things over my life, it keeps going back. He protects me. He provides for me, and he is my purpose. Man can't take that away. Circumstance can't take that away. Situations can't take that away, because no one can take him away.
Okay, I'm next. All right. Well, I said I'm going to share from my heart, and I'm going to lay this right here. I wasn't Number one, I was not raised in church. I have a lot of people say, you know, how long you was raised in church? You know, you've been in church all your life. How many ever heard the story? I've been in church all my life. Well, I can't say that. I wasn't raised in church. My mom was a spiritual foundation in our family, and they used to have prayer meetings, and she would go to church, and she would always try to encourage me to go, but I'd sneak out the back window. Amen. When I seen them coming with them pocketbooks and tambourines, I knew what was coming. So old Brother John just exited out the back window because my window wasn't far from the ground so I could escape. But as I began my mom would always encourage me, son, you need to get in church. And, you know, as a teenager, how many know you don't want to hear that? So I began to develop my own set of rules. Okay, you probably say, well, not you. Oh, yeah. And I began to do things and get caught up in things that it's just unbelievable how God has touched my life. But I remember one day I was coming from work, and I heard the audible voice of God say, I love you. And I'm thinking, I'm driving and I look in my back seat, nobody is there. So that started me out. So I remember at age 15, I told God, I said, God, I tell you what, if you'll let me finish high school, I will serve you. Biggest lie ever told. So I finished high school, went to work, and still didn't surrender to the dealings of God. So God woke me up in a dream. And in this dream, this is one of the profound things that happened to me. In the dream, God appeared to me, but I was in hell. And I could hear the voice of God saying, I can save you. I can save you. I can save you. And I woke up out of the dream, and I went and my elder brother was a minister at that time, you know, so he would always witness to us and things. But long story short, I went to his house, and I told him the dream. And he said, God is wanting you to surrender your life now. And I said, but we're not at a church. And he said, you don't have to be in a church to accept Christ. And right there in his living room, I remember bowing on my knees, asking Jesus into my life. And God began to manifest himself to me because I didn't know church. I didn't know how to go to church and, you know, do things. So God began to show himself to me. And I never will forget this. I'm going to share two incidents that happened that God began when I went to church that Sunday with my brother. I was sitting in the pew, sitting back, minding my business, and all of a sudden, a fire was burning me on the inside. Not a hurting fire or burning. It was just a fire burning me all over my being, and I'm sitting there in this chair wondering, what in the world is this? And I couldn't explain it, and I asked my brother, I said, you know, something strange happened to me today. He said, well, what's that? And I said, I was on fire. He said, what? I said, I was on fire. And he said, well, I think God just touched you in a special way today, brother. And I said, I do not understand this. What is going on with me? The next night, I'm in my bedroom and I'm praying. And I was seeking God, and the voice of God said, humble yourself. I didn't know no scripture. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. And this started a hunger in me that I've never let go of. And I began to seek God, and I began to read the Word of God, and then God began to start revealing things to me out of the Word of God that I've never heard preached, that I never read. And I went to the Bible, and you say, well, if you never read it, how do you know it was in there? Because I went and searched it out. And he said, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee, I will keep thee, I will strengthen thee, I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness. I never read that scripture. Never read it. And I told my brother about it, and he said, well, get the concordance. I'm going to show you how to look it up. And he showed me how to use a concordance and how to run reference in my Bible, because I didn't know A from Z. And I read that, and I said, that's what spoke to me. And he said, God said this to you. And I said, yes, I had never read that, but it was in the Word of God. It was in Isaiah, and I never read that scripture. And he told me, my brother was sort of like mentoring me and teaching me how to read the Bible, how to run reference, you know. But God was manifesting himself to me in a way that was non-church. And I'm not against the church. I'm not saying I was against. I just didn't go to church. I didn't know church. I didn't know God as the church was telling me how he was. And then, you know, as I began to grow in God, you know, the revelation started coming. And I never will forget, and I share this because I was on my job, and on my breaks, I was reading the New Testament. And on my breaks, I would go read, and I'm just going to tell you a funny thing that happened. I think I've shared this before with a class I taught. But I was in the break room, and I was reading my Bible, and it was time to go back to work. So I said, you know, hey, I'm feeding on the Word. So my supervisor come in, I said, hey, I'm reading. He said, it's time to go back on your job. And I said, but I'm reading. I was excited. I'm reading. I'm feeding on the Word. I'm getting the Word in me. I'm a Christian. And he said, okay. So after I finished my round and finished my job, he said, I need to see you in my office. And I said, okay. And he looked at me and he said these words to me. He said, John, it's okay for you to read your Bible, but I didn't hire you to read your Bible. I hired you to do a job. And I learned from that. See, God is teaching me all along, but I didn't realize what he was doing. So he was teaching me how to respect authority and do what I've been hired to do, okay? So I told him, I said, I am so sorry. You know, because I was repenting for everything, because I didn't want to mess up going to heaven. I mean, I was repenting. I said, I'm sorry, I won't do that. So the next break, I was in there reading. And the Bible started talking to me. You're saying, what do you mean, the Bible? The words on the page began to talk back to me without me even reading a word. And at this time, I was married, and I shared with her. I said, you know, I was in my break room, and I was reading, and that Bible just started talking to me. And I never will forget the first revelation I received was in St. Matthew's, the 16th chapter, when Jesus said to Peter, he said, who do men say I am? You know the story. Some say it is, some say it is. But he said, but who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus told him, he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock, now all my life people was telling me as I got started going to Sunday schools and things, they were teaching Peter was the rock. And that's what I thought, Peter was a rock. But when I read that scripture, all of a sudden, I seen something different. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit began to enlighten me and show me it's not Peter, but it's the revelation that Peter received. And Jesus began to teach me, and he said, John, revelation is what I'm building my church on, not Peter. And you know what that did? That caused a thirst for revelation. I mean, you know, once you taste and see, it's almost like a drug. You're hooked. I got to have some more of this. Amen? So God began to start revealing himself to me. And I remember this, you know, God had shown me in the word, and he said, John, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to supply every need that you have. And I took him for that. I didn't know church. I didn't know nothing about church. So whatever I read, guess what I would do? Step out on it. Start walking in it. Now, what I'm about to tell you, my wife is a witness. I was the only one working. We had four kids, children, okay? And we were living from paycheck to paycheck. I know y'all don't know nothing about that, but we did. And still trusted God in the midst of it. One morning I came home and Faith said, well, John, we don't have no food. And I said, oh, Lord. So I would go crying out to God, Lord, we got to have some food. And the Lord led me to a garden. Now, kid you not, my wife is a witness. Her dad had already plowed up the garden. And I was led to the garden. And when I got to the garden, there was a beautiful head of cabbage. And the Spirit of God led me further, and there was a row of potatoes. And when I took it in the house, she said, where'd you get this from? I said, it's in the garden. She said, honey, daddy plied up the garden. It's no longer back here. I said, well, this is where it came. Am I telling the truth, honey? And I'm telling you, God was proving himself to me. John, you can trust me. Not only that, here come a guy come along. He said, John, I need you to ride with me somewhere. And I'm thinking, I just got this, you know, and got the cabbage, and you know, I'm ready to eat, man, you know, and, you know, fix this stuff up, honey, let's eat, you know. And he said, we won't be gone long, I'll be back, okay. And he said, just ride with me somewhere. So I rode with him. Long story short, it was a place about as wide as that wall on this side. And he said, I need you to help me. You paint that wall, I'm going to give you the spray gun. I don't know how to use a spray gun. I'll use rollers and brushes. He said, no, just take it and spray it. Go back and forth. And, you know, so I did that. Long story short, we got in the car, took me to Wendy's, and there we'll forget it. I said, man, you know, I was a little ashamed because I didn't have no money, you know, and I'm thinking. I said, nah, I ain't hungry. You know, I was, but. You know how you don't have money and, you know, somebody wanting you to, you know, who I'm going to pay for it? And I said, no, I'm not. He said, no, it's on me. I said, oh, okay. You know, give me one of them cheeseburgers over there, you know, and a Coke. But then long story short, when we got home and I said, you know, he said, I want to give you something. He gave me two crispy $100 bills. And I said, I can't take that. He said, I'm going to pay you for what you... I said, but that little bit of... And he told me, he said, look, when God is blessing you, don't deny what he's doing. Amen? So I took that $200 and I went in the house and I showed Faye. I said, she said, what'd you get that from? I said, this is what he paid me. I mean, they was crispy too. I said, ooh, Lord. Amen. You know, but you say, well, what does that have to do with revelation? God was revealing himself. Not just, but manifesting himself in every need. Every need. Now, was it tough? Yes. Sometimes I thought about, well, God, you're supposed to be helping me. You're not helping me. But when I look back and I see what God was doing, he was teaching me how to live by faith and to trust him no matter what. Why? Because he was a God that was able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all I could imagine or think, according to the power that works in John. And it was his power at work revealing, as Pastor Terry shared the scripture earlier, it was the Holy Ghost teaching me and revealing to me the heart of the Father and the love of God that God had for me. And guess what? That same love is experienced, and I'm experiencing it today. Hallelujah. That's why, oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, woohoo. I feel my daddy, y'all. I feel my daddy. I tell you, you know, I get a little bit excited. But, you know, I'm telling you, God did some things for us. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable because I didn't know nothing about church. I'm telling you, I did not know how to even go in and present myself in a church. I just went into church, sat down. They said, stand up. I stand up, sat down. I sat down. But when I start feeding on that word, God started revealing himself. And I'll leave you with this right here. The scriptures in Hebrews, it says that got to have some glasses here, y'all. Okay. Hebrews 4:14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. And that word confession means let us say the same thing he say about us. Come on, let us say the same thing that he says about us. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, listen, as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This right here, the revelation that I receive is Jesus have experienced everything that you and I have experienced, that we are experiencing now. You say, no, Jesus, it was God in him. No, Jesus faced his trials as a human being, as the Son of Man. He didn't pull his God cord. You know why? Because he was showing us how to overcome this world. And that's what Jesus said. He said, in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. Amen. The overcomer is in us. Amen. He has been touched with the same things that we are being confronted with. You say, but he didn't have to deal with the devil. Go read Matthew 4. He was being tempted just like we are. And guess what? He know how to sympathize with our weaknesses. People told me when I began to get into church, you know what they was telling me? If you mess up, God is mad at you. If you mess up, you got to go back and get saved next Sunday. But how many know the devil is a liar? Amen? God is not mad at me. Amen? He's for me. And the Bible says, if he be for me, who can be against me? Amen. So I encourage you, you know, we're living in tough times, but guess what? We got a tough God, amen? And he's more than able, amen, to do what he said he would do, amen? He would do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or imagine according to the power that works in us. And how many know he's in us? Amen, he's in us. And he's not going to forsake us just because of what's going on in this world. But you know what? There is something greater on the inside of every one of us, and it's called Jesus Christ. Amen. We're in a kingdom that will not be shaken. And that word that he gave me about the church being built on revelation, and he said the gates of hell will not prevail. Do you realize that is not an offense word? That is a defense word. We go in and take what the enemy has stole. Amen? We call back the prodigals. Amen? We can go in and snatch our children out of the hands of the enemy. Amen? We can go into the camp of disease and all these things that are plaguing us. Amen? It might not come overnight, but guess what? We just keep believing God because he said it. Guess what? It's going to happen. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Bless you, brother. Bless you. Love you. Well, our time is gone. We normally let out about this time. You want to spend a few more minutes? Or do I need to use that one? Do I sound...
All right. Is this better? Yeah, it's better. Do you want to go till a few more minutes, or would you like to wait till next week? Okay. If you want to wait a few more minutes, stand up. All right. You can be seated. I'm going to share a little bit about my life. I too, like these two pastors, these two men of God, I have a long list of things that I can tell you about. But there is just one profound revelation that I received. You know, the Bible talks about that we are to behold the love of God, the love that the Father has bestowed upon us. That word behold means to experience it. During all my life, I was born again at 8, but I knew about God's love, but I just did not experience the depth of him loving me. Psalm 33 34 years ago, me and Brenda was having a very turbulent relationship, very turbulent marriage, even to the point that I packed up and moved out. I got a little old apartment that had a bed, and I found a table and a chair, and basically, that was about it. And we were separated for 21 days. And on that 21st day, I was really miserable. I really was miserable. Prior to that, let me tell you this. Prior to our breakup at that time, our separation at that time, we had been out of church for about seven years. Born again, but not in church at that point in time in my life. So, in my desperation on that 21st day, I was asking God as best I knew how at that time, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And you heard some word, somebody testifying to or giving rhema words to Brother Terry and the word of God to Brother Terry. You heard Pastor John talk about a dream that he had, and the interpretation of that dream began to turn his life. Mine was a vision. A vision that is it's an inspiring appearance for me. I was in the apartment, and I was desperate, in despair, and just in bad shape. And the Lord appeared through an inspiration. This is what I saw. I saw him seated in the apartment. I saw him seated, and I saw his knees and his legs down, and I saw his feet, and I saw his hands down below like that, down close to his feet. And I heard him say this. He said, "Come, let me hold you." I looked at me, and I looked at what I was seeing, and I said, "No, there's just no way. Just no way that I can make it. I'm too dirty. I didn't treat my wife right. I wasn't treating a lot of people right. I can't make it." I heard his voice again, and he moved his hands out closer to me. He's still seated, and he wants to hold me. I said, "I can't get there. I've done too much wrong. I can't make it." He said this: "No climbing. I just want you to fall. Just fall in my arms. No effort. Just give up." Excuse me. I did. I just surrendered. And I just fell into his arms. I tangibly felt him grab me, sit me in his lap, and hold me. I tangibly felt him feeling him taking things off of me, just taking this off, taking that off. And he said, "Son, I love you. And I said, "I don't see how." He said, "My love for you is much bigger than what you've ever done in your life. You'll never stop me from loving you." So that went on, and I drank in the love of God. I called Brenda and told her and asked her if it was okay to come back home. And very graciously, she said, yes, come on. Went back home and told her about it. Started back to church here. Way back then. And was able to get it out of me, letting her know, and some of y'all have heard this, but letting her know that at that point in time in my life, I was very honest, very raw, and telling her, I said, before anything else, I need to tell you that I don't love you the way the Bible says that a husband is supposed to love his wife. See, the Bible says, as Christ loved the church, I didn't love Brenda that way. And I owned it. And I confessed it. But inside of me was also the power of the Holy Spirit operating in my life. And I told her, I said, but I'll give you the rest of my life to learn how to love you the way the Bible says I'm supposed to love you. I'm still working on it. To lay down your life. So, it revolutionized my life. It was a revelation for me that I experienced, that I knew, and from that point on, no one has ever come close to me saying or saying that God does not love me. It has solidified his love for me in such a way that no matter what I go through, no matter what happens, no matter what is going on, no matter when I miss it, no matter when I fail, no matter when I fall, the love of God is still there. It'll always be there. I can't tell the story without having tears and of gratefulness to see how I was, even as a Christian, to see how I was in my actions, in my words, in my behavior, and to see his response to say, son, I love you. Nothing you can do that will ever stop that. So, that's just one. I can write, not a book, but I can write an encyclopedia. I really can. So with that, you've heard Pastor Terry about the provision of God. I need someone to come up and play. The provision of God, how he provided, and how the purpose that we have, and how that came about, and how it changed and impacted his life. You heard Pastor John talk about having a dream, and about other people telling him and people providing and how God provided through people and the things that were said, the rhema words that came. There's so many things. I'm here today because a man whom I didn't know came to me. I was at a funeral. Well, it was at the home of someone passing away. It was our lead dancer, father. And I was leaving. This man came up. I was at the car. This man came up. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. I never had seen him before. And he stopped. I stopped and said, can I help you? And he said, I need to tell you something. And I said, okay. Well, he didn't say a word. He just started crying. He said, no, I need to tell you something. I said, okay, you got my attention. And he said, don't you quit. See, I had my resignation to leave here in the car. I'm going to give it to the pastor. He said, don't you quit. Don't you dare quit. If you quit, I will roll your britches legs up and switch your legs. That's how my mom and daddy did me when I was little. They would roll these dungarees up and switch our legs. And I knew it was God. Still didn't know the man. I said, who are you? I thought he was going to say Gabriel. I thought I was talking to an angel. I'm being truthful, telling the truth. And he told me, he said, I am the brother. I am the brother, the man who just passed away. He was on his way to the family to see his brother one last time because he died. And he interrupted that journey from a move of God on his heart to come and tell a man whom he did not know me or what I did or nothing, and to tell me to be obedient to what God was telling him. And it changed my life again. I'm still here today. I went home. I cried all the way home, soaking wet from tears. And Bryn said, what in the world happened to you? She thought something was wrong with Scott. I said, no, he's fine. And I told her the story and what had happened. She looked at me and she started crying. And she said, you can't quit. You can't quit. And I thank God today the revelation that he's given. But what I want to do before we leave, I know it's 12, and I want to give you an opportunity to re-engage. To re-engage the provision of God, the purpose of God, the dreams of God, the word of God, and the visions of God. To re-engage with that afresh and anew. And I want you to get up from, I want you to get up from where you are. If that's you, you just want to re-engage with God. Doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is, what will you do today? What are you going to do today? Are you going to respond to his spirit? Respond to what he wants to do for you and do through you? If that's you, I want you to everybody to stand. Go ahead and stand. And if that's you, I want you to come to this altar. Come quickly. Come quickly. I'm going to re-engage with God. I want to re-engage with his provision, his purpose. I want to re-engage in hearing him. What was the second one, Terry? It was provision. Protection. You want to re-engage with God protecting you. Renew. It's a renewal time. It's a time where you repent by just getting up and coming. Say, I want to be refreshed from his presence. I want to be everything that he wants me to be. I want to be able to do everything he wants me to do. I want to experience his love. I want to experience his protection, his provision, his purpose. I want to experience everything that he has for me. See, we don't base our lives on experience. We base it, but experience solidifies what we know and what he knows about him on his own self and what he's telling us. Crowd in, get closer. I want you to get closer. This is a time for you and God. This is a time for you and your precious Holy Spirit being born again. He's the revealer. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. But he's going to rehearse with you. He's going to show you things, and he's going to rehearse with you over and over the things that you and I need to do. It just needs to you and I to say, yes, Lord. Yes. You don't have to climb. That's what he said. Don't climb, Terry. Don't climb, son. Just fall. Just surrender. Just surrender. So let this be your moment to surrender. You do that. I can't do that for you. You can do it. You can do it exactly, because that's what he's asking you today. Just surrender. No, things may not get easier. But what will happen is the knowledge of him going through it with us, with me, no matter what it is, he's going to be with me. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So in an act of surrender, what does the people do that's giving up and they surrender? What do? Surrender. Give it to him. Surrender to him. Fall into his arms. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you today for the testimony. Lord, you said in your word that the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. And Lord, what you've done for these three men, us three people, you can do it right now again. Thank you, congregation, for lifting your arms. You may not be at the altar, but you're lifting your arms in surrender. Do it again, Lord. Do in me what I've heard you do in other people's lives. Do it in me. I'm here. I'm ready. I'm yours. You're mine. Wash me. Wash me with your word. Wash me with these testimonies. Enter in. Enter in. He tells us that, you keep your hands up. He tells us that if we experience the love of God, having the love of God, if we really know and have the felt love of God, that it will prepare us for his fullness. Experiencing the love of God prepares us to enter into his fullness. Jesus. Tell him today, Lord, do it now. Just tell him that. Do it now, Lord. Do it now. I know what time it is, but it doesn't matter. What matters right now is me and you. What matters right now is my relationship with you, Lord, and your relationship with me. And we thank you. Thank you, Father, for your love, your protection, your provision, and your purpose. Over and over and over, we say we worship you. You agree? And if you agree, what do you say? Amen. Say it loud. Amen. Say it one more time. Amen. Amen. Terry.
Amen, amen, amen. Has God been good to you today? Hallelujah. We just got a couple things we want to do before we get out of here. Number one, remember the Back to School Bash. The announcements are on the screen right now. You can look at those. And before we get going, we need to pray for someone real quick, okay? We've got someone battling stage 4 cancer right now. She's the daughter of a member here, Faye Weatherly. She's in a Shelby Hospital. And I would like everybody just to stop what you're doing right now and let's bow our heads and say, Lord, you said you heal our disease. And we stand in the gap right now believing that you are still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, we have someone in our family that's being touched by illness, by sickness, by cancer. And cancer's a big word, but every word and every knee must bow to the name of Jesus. And Lord, we say right now, Jesus, come in the room. Jesus, touch this situation. Jesus, we're praying for a miracle. In your name we pray, we believe you, and all of God's people said, amen. Go online at fathersvineyard.org. Make sure you check out the announcements real quick. And visitors, if this is your first time here, go over to the front of the sound booth, meet with Pastor Terry. He's got some gifts for you and like to say thank you for coming and give you a couple of nice gifts. Blessings to you and through you. Go ye therefore and declare the goodness of God.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.